settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
Welcome to Spirit's Book, the metaphysical and spiritual show designed to open your eyes to the greater possibilities of life. Thanks for joining us. For those of us with us for the first time, what makes Spirit's work so unique is that every week, Mick Avery demonstrates his exceptional gift of deep trance channeling live on air. He channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, who is the spokesperson for a group of evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. They're an educational group who are here to give us knowledge and information we'd never have access to in any other way. And this week's show, we are taking your questions, and we have actually some questions from our listeners, and this is something that you can do if you like to have, if you have any ideas and questions that you would rather not maybe phone in but email prior to the show, then you can send your emails to enq@spirit-teaching.com, and I will put them across on the show. Otherwise, failing that, do take the opportunity to pick up the phone and participate and call us with a question or comment to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay. It's not a sort of a personal reading type of situation. We do readings, private readings, if you would like a reading. We do Akashic readings, which are really quite unique and different. But this situation is really general questions about life, the universe, and anything that you would like to know about the spirit world or about maybe development, your pathway, or others, maybe the world's pathway, whatever you think that a spirit guide could help you with, maybe, you know, the questions that niggle you. So if you'd like to join us, then it's toll-free in the U.S. That's 877-876-5227. In Canada, 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not toll-free, but it's only a quick call. And it's 001-530-876-3222. And you'll get the hang of it as we go along. So.
Yeah, well, hi, everyone. Hi, everyone. As well as Spirit's Work on the wonderful and ever-present bbsradio.com every Sunday, here at 10 a.m. PST, that's 6 p.m. GMT, we have another radio show which is called Spirit Teaching, and on you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 4 p.m. PST, which is midnight GMT. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, book an Akashic reading, or any of the other extensive kinds of readings that we do, and they're wide and varied, including geophysical stress readings about your home or environment or anything like that, we suggest you go visit our website, which is at www.spirit-teaching.com, and also live at www.spiritsworkradio.com. Now, as Sylvie said, I am a deep trance medium, which means that I am a pure channel for the spirit world, enabling clear, concise communication from those who continue to walk with us and who try to look after us. In this week, each week on our show, Sylvie has a conversation with our spirit friends so that they can give us the benefit of their wisdom and insight, and as a result, we can get a different perspective on life, which means having choices and options we never realized were available to us. When I go into the deep trance state, I will not know of anything that happened until the spirit team bring me back again, and that is how it should be when you're doing pure spirit communication in this way. Because we wouldn't want my thoughts and my feelings from my own mind getting in the way of the spirit contact, so that it remains pure and unadulterated by my mind. Okay.
Believe me, trust me.
Yes, yes.
This is a good thing.
Yes.
Okay, so Nick's going to go off now. Tell you this about Gregory. Gregory was asked, before his physical life in the early 1700s, if he would like to train to be the representative of this educational group. group who are going to be helping the people of the Earth discover a more harmonious way of life. The group wants us to understand the implications of what we are doing to our planet and aid us on the road to recovery, and also raise the vibration of the planet in the process, I have to say. They consist of eminent scientists, physicists, scholars, as well as ordinary people. Between them, they have vast knowledge and insight, or access to vast knowledge and insight. They try to help us to look at the bigger picture of life, to think outside of the box and explain situations that affect us and our future and the future of the planet, and of course those who wish to come after us who haven't had a physical life yet. I'd just like to say that we are normally on secondlife.com as well on Sundays at 1 o'clock PST, but today we aren't going to be doing that, but we'll be back to normal next week, so we look forward to your company then. I do believe that somebody who phoned the show last week sent me an email, and I lost it. So if you'd like to send me another one, or if you're still around listening to us, then maybe if it's possible to phone in the show again and ask, or if that's not appropriate, then if you could send me it again, that would be fantastic. We've had a little trouble with our internet, and I don't want to let anybody down, really. Anyway, I look forward to anybody's calls today. That's lovely. Hello, Gregory.
With love and light and blessings be upon your journeys, everyone. Hello, little bird.
Hello, is the man in question.
Greeting.
So, today we have some more questions from our listeners. And actually, I'd like to start with this one from Sarah.
Yes.
And she says that I was asked recently about doorkeepers keeping us safe.
Yes.
The person in question who asked her this said that they were told that they did not have a doorkeeper by three different mediums. I told them that my belief is that we have the same doorkeeper right throughout our life from birth to death, and that this person does not change, and this contract was set up before we decided to have our life on Earth. On the earth plane. So her question is, does everyone have a doorkeeper with them? Can you confirm this or give your opinion, please?
My dear friend, Sarah, the situation is every single living being has a doorkeeper. That is a spirit of the same situation, usually the same species intent, or progressive spirit, who is going to be with them throughout their physiological journey. This means that the spirit in question, in fact, the relationship begins usually before the spirit makes the tethered tie to the physical being, whilst remaining in the spirit world, at the point of inception of the physical being. So, in other words then, when one cell divides, when one complete cell divides at the inception of physical matter and then continues on that life aspect, that is when the tether of spirit is joined to the physical matter. So, this relationship continues throughout the physical life all the way up until the point at which the physical person passes to outside of life, and then that spirit who gave themselves of their whole situation of concentration with that physical being continues with that physical being all the way up and through until they actually have an understanding of their own Akashic book, and also helping them upon that journey of their making. So this means to say, however, that all other spirit involved with that physical life journey are all different and are going to be changing and evolving as you, as a physical being, change and evolve. Now, I have to say that some beings in physical life, shall we say, a human being, may not necessarily always have, as I said, a doorkeeper who is of human state. It may possibly be that the doorkeeper is a bird or another animal. But this is very rare for this to happen. Sometimes the doorkeeper may well be an equine mammal. Other times it may be an equine a horse, or perhaps a bird, a crow, or an eagle. Although, as I say, these situations are seldom, purely and simply because for most beings, they will actually have a doorkeeper of their own species. The reason for this is so that when you as a physical being wish to really, truly, purposefully communicate, or perhaps when you wish to, shall we say, you enter into a situation, perhaps it may well be that you're not familiar with your spirit or with any other spirit manifestation. It's not necessarily your doorkeeper will always manifest themselves. In fact, very rarely do they in that respect. They will, from time to time, hopefully help you in the state of, in various states of distress that you may come upon or that you may get into in your physical life. Some people say that the situation of responsibility is taken up by your doorkeeper to protect you beyond all others. In many respects, the doorkeeper's life with you is in a state of non-involvement. This is simply because they are the witness to your life. And your doorkeeper continues throughout the whole circumference of your life as this pure witness, not there to make judgment of you, but there to bring you ultimate love, but only at the point at which you may come to understand it. So in other words then, you may be a human being who moves throughout your physical life completely unaware of your doorkeeper, or even not perhaps wanting to acknowledge that such a presence could exist. And in that respect, your doorkeeper will be most respectful and wait patiently throughout your entire life. It may well be that you don't actually meet your doorkeeper as a physical being until you actually pass. If that is your quest, if that is your comes to the point, shall we say that just before your passing, you decide that that is an energy you wish to be familiar of, perhaps through fear of your passing or something like that, that becomes a time when anxiety overtakes, perhaps, your ordinary physical, logical mind that you have set about creating in your physical environment. So it may well be that it's only at that point in time that relationship actually springs into life.
Most people don't know. Most people go through their life not knowing who their doorkeeper is, or even that they have one. So
yes, and that's why I said that.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, to make it clear, guides. People have many guides. They come and go.
Absolutely, as the person evolves.
Yes, as you progress through your life, your guides will come and go. Some stay for a longer time than others, and some do stay the whole time, don't they? As well as the doorkeeper.
For a very long time, yes. Absolutely.
But the doorkeeper is really the only person that that actually doesn't change. And that, yes, everyone has. That's interesting, isn't it, that this person was told that they didn't have a doorkeeper. Why do you think that is, that three mediums would say that?
That is a matter of development. It is a matter of where they do not forget that what is development? Development of anyone is the product of mind. So, depending upon what material you choose to read, what are your vested interests or insights in your physical journey that you have reached before you even reach for other material from others' minds. Therefore, it's only going to be to the benefit or the extent of information that comes from someone else's mind, and that would appear to be only to the extent of their insight thus far within their physiological journey. From our premise, this is a continuum of understanding. And in all events, my dear friends, it is that we have come together in order to bring about a perfected form of information, not gathered solely from our physiological journey, because that would be weak and very limited. It actually comes from the greatest extent of many thousands of consciousness beings, that is, people who have had a physical life, and many thousands of beings who have never had a physical life, but still retain and amass great knowledge and wisdom, because you don't have to have knowledge and wisdom only through the pure physical life. You can gain that through the pure aspect of spirit.
Or from other planes of existence.
Absolutely.
That you've lived on.
Yes,
mm.
Of course. So the simple answer is that these people who have professed this knowledge and understanding are only actually coming from the limit or extent to which their teachers or evolution has allowed them to participate, and to the extent of which their minds have illuminated thus far. And perhaps it has been that the horizon that they have been taught or shown, or that they have been a party to at this time, simply doesn't cover that avenue. It's exactly the same as, my dear friends, if you ask any particular person from one particular religion, or are they actually going to acknowledge essences or elements of someone else's life journey, somebody else's consciousness, perhaps become familiar with pagan ritual, or perhaps to become familiar with any other work of spirit other than the Holy Ghost? In which case, they are simply going to say that you are coming from the devil's point of view.
Well, they may, these particular mediums just may not have picked up their doorkeepers, and so said, well, you haven't got one because I can't pick them up. I can't sense them around you.
Yes.
So, I mean, that could be as simple as that, couldn't it?
Absolutely so. Yes,
again,
so.
That's lack of development.
Yes, quite so.
And also, and also, really, instead of saying that, saying, I'm sorry, but, and this is the crux of a lot of problems, isn't it? I'm sorry, I can't pick them up. I don't know the name of your doorkeeper or whatever.
Yes.
Instead of saying that, they say that you don't have one.
Yes.
You know, it's a bit like the reincarnation thing, isn't it? You know, rather than saying, I don't know, they
just come out with
make
twaddle.
Things fit a lot
twaddle.
Of the time.
Yes.
So, so, you know, we have to be discerning when we're having readings, and hopefully
absolutely.
This person wasn't too upset about that. So, I know Sarah obviously listens to the show. She's going to relay this to this person anyway.
I do hope so.
Well, we'll have to tell her to tell this person to have an Akashic reading, and then you'll be able to tell them the name of their doorkeeper. Won't you? And all about them.
And their life history, yes.
And actually their life history, yes, as well. So that's one of the exciting things that you can expect to experience if you have an Akashic reading with Gregory, a private reading with Gregory over the phone. So if you'd like to join us with a question, the phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. This free phone number in the USA, it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. National callers, it's not toll-free. Number 701-530-876-3222. Well, that was really interesting, and I'm sure a lot of people got lots of information from that. Here's another one from Sarah. What is your opinion on karma? What goes around comes around tenfold. Every action has a reaction or a feeling of whatever I have done to this person for them to treat me like they do. Have I done the same thing to them before? This is.
Yes.
It's just leading up to.
Yes.
Yeah.
So let's take this one bit at a time.
Okay, all right then.
And I would like you to begin with the first part.
Okay.
Again.
What goes around comes around tenfold.
Well, so this is a magnification problem. partly because it arises because of the system of failure. Failure of mind over matter. Failure over consciousness being able to accept various parameters of physical life, that you, as a physical being, can be wrong, can make ill-gotten judgments, can make preconceptions which then turn and leave you feeling barren of thought. And that simply comes up because your judgment and decision-making process was not gathered, was unfounded, yes? So the actual information that you had was incorrect. Part of this situation then comes about that you as a physical being, shall we say, that you create something which is a poor pathway. First of all, you have to look at what is it that you actually create as a poor pathway. We'll say then that you are a person who is a mechanic and you work on aeroplanes. And as a mechanic, all that you are trained to do is to do a specific kind of job, which perhaps is to do with changing one part in an aeroplane's wing or undercarriage for another part that has to be renewed. And it has to be renewed at a certain number of miles that the aeroplane has flown. Now, in the most and in the main, a person is conscientiously working toward a certain goal, that is usually to do their job of work or whatever it is that they are entrusted to do within the best of their ability. For some people, they may well decide, perhaps I'm just using this as an analogy, to be able to help you to understand. So perhaps sometimes the person will simply do their job of work as normal. And yet, at this one particular time, they decide instead, because they want to go and have a cup of tea or coffee or some other refreshment, or perhaps they are really wanting to go and have their lunch break or something like that, so they just leave the piece in that they were supposed to change out. And instead of it being changed for a new one, it goes on and the service is completed without that person coming back to fix it. And instead, that person goes on to do something else when they come back from their lunch break or whatever. The culmination of these events are then mirrored tenfold, purely and simply because the catastrophic possibilities of disaster coming about because that one simple deed was not changed or altered meant that it was amplified. What you as a physical being have to understand is that everything that you do in physical time becomes amplified because the ramifications are you are born at this point. Your interchanging state of awareness moves within the circles of life, within all other beings you meet and either come into conflict or harmony with. These exchanges of energy then predict different outcomes for each of those beings you make contact with. This means, actually, that the adage that it is repeated tenfold is actually incorrect, but it's thousandfold, because it continues throughout your life process. Almost you could say that within any one day that you manifest in physical life, you are creating decisions, ordinance of judgment, and makeup. That means your creativity is having effect upon your physical life and your environment around you. Therefore, every single moment you make decisions which will affect someone else are going to have these karmic effects brought about.
Okay.
And the next part?
Okay. Every action has a reaction.
Yes, absolutely so. Every single action that you make, whether positive or negative, has some kind of interreaction to it. So, for example, then, if you are a person who, let's say, that you find that there are creatures in your garden that you dislike, and therefore what you do is you choose, make a decision to eradicate them. Let's say, then, that you find caterpillars on your vegetables. And that makes you angry because they are eating the leaves that you want to eat, when your vegetables are fully grown. Simply then, what many people will do is reach for their spray or something like that in order to kill off the caterpillars. The problem that coincides with this is that this decision has actually made manifest tenfold. So instead of just killing caterpillars, you're going to kill a great many other creatures as well, which birds and other wildlife are going to be interdependent upon. They may well eat those creatures too before they actually pass, and they themselves then become inflicted with the same organic suffrage and chemical reaction ensues, then sending their life into passing, and it goes on ad infinitum. So throughout, one situation of decision making you have made can create carnage upon the physical environment you actually continue to create and work with. The point is that ordinarily, organically, it would not or should not really make that much difference. However, with human beings, because they work in such magnified ways, what tends to happen with a human being when they make such a decision is it has a great disastrous impact upon many other beings around them. Now, if you are looking then alternatively at a very harmonic situation, it's actually very difficult to set up a really plausible and sustained harmonic vibration. It really is very difficult. I know many people, light workers and the like, will say, oh, it's really easy, you just create the love within the well of self, yes, and send it out to the universe, yes. Absolutely, I agree with you. But the point is, it has to be sustained. And sustaining that amount of vibration is necessary to be amplified greatly. So that means, in order for you to send a loving vibration that has great meaning, you need 10 people to send the same loving vibration to create that meaning or any kind of real effect. That doesn't mean to say, I want you all to stop. It means that you have to bring about the ascended understanding between yourself and others in order to really rhythmically change what you are trying to perceive or what you are trying to send out to the universe. That is why it is that a gathering of people, in fact, large responses of loving awareness, perhaps say, we should say, to one person's simple intonement or voice, some such thing as a person singing, will say that it sets up a chain reaction of loving awareness within all of the people who see or understand that loving inflection of that being. And what that simply does is set up a chain reaction throughout the universe, because, shall we say, it's 3,000 people who set up that great well of joy, of love, for that one person singing, is a simple environment which magnifies throughout the universe.
So music is very important in the raising of our vibration.
Extremely, yes, as well as meditation, as well as many other pathways of healing and those kinds of supplicant situations.
But collectively,
yes,
that is a biggie, isn't it?
It is a very big thing, yes.
That's very interesting. Is it so difficult because of the amount of negativity, on the earth plane?
Yes, absolutely. In medieval times, you see, it was also equally negative, but that because there was not the situation of in state media that you have at this present time in your physical life, it meant that many people were actually unaware of it until the negative vibration actually hit them.
Yes, and they wouldn't actually know what it was.
They would
just react from the effect of it. And that's what we do,
yes,
don't we? We react from the effect of negativity,
yes,
whether we know it or not.
Yes, quite true. So you may not actually understand where it's come from or the reason for it. Oftentimes, you will react to negative vibrations within a certain environment, perhaps just where you live, for example.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
And I mean, in medieval times, there wasn't so many people either.
No, of course not.
You know, for it to be coming from.
Yes, quite so. A fraction of the numbers that exist now.
Mm.
But the point is that, shall we say, just in small enclaves, there would be maybe even a situation which happened in the next valley. But that in actual fact, news didn't reach other towns or other small villages for days, purely and simply because it just didn't happen, because people didn't travel that much. And so the negative vibration that you would experience would perhaps be quite different. So what I'm saying is, in a sense, in your modern time, the way that information is brought to you and understanding of other peoples, of other intentions, of other cultures, is brought to you is something then of their history, and that then, in a state, begins to create imaginings as well as the creation of positive force and negative force. It also creates imaginary pathways because you place yourself in that environment whenever you hear the story. So, for example, if you hear of a situation of mass extinction or something like that, it's a situation that creates and conjures images within your consciousness before you've even thought of anything else. It's the immediate impact that comes to you and that, in a sense, comes with the vibration of words that are created or announced, because that is something which is also brought through the being who created them.
So how does this leave us with things like on television, the things that we watch on TV, you know, the people shooting each other and knifing each other and letting guts and
horrible. Whether they are make-believe or not.
Yes, I mean,
even
news
about items,
yes,
for example.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
To a certain extent, will create great negative pathways, because usually the news that you see, the items that are manifested upon the airwaves, in that respect, are usually negative.
Oh, absolutely, yes. Well, they struggle, don't they, at the end of the bulletins to find something light-hearted to talk about, just to finish off with, and sometimes it's like ridiculously stupid. Goodness gracious me, you know, they couldn't have they thought of anything more interesting than that, which is a sad state of affairs when they couldn't think of anything nice to happy to make you feel happy about.
Yes, quite so.
But so how does this leave us with things like festivals, Live Aid, you know, all the big...
absolutely.
I mean, Glastonbury Festival, all of the festivals that, pop festivals and concerts and things that people go to, they are very important then, aren't they?
Yes, they are extremely important. Vibration is elemental. So too are any other kinds of gatherings, whether they are to do with spirituality or any kind of spirituality. It doesn't matter what the religion is.
No, absolutely, or even what the music is.
No.
It's the raising of the vibration of people.
Yes, and the oneness of people that brings those individuals together, and that creates a completely different intonation to that life.
Yes. Well, interestingly enough, I think having lived in America and the UK and various places, it seems like even though the UK is tiny in comparison to most places,
yes,
I mean, there's an awful lot of people here, but we do have an awful lot of pop festivals, music festivals here.
Yes, it's just as well.
Yes, that's what I was just getting to, really, to be quite honest.
Yes.
Does that balance things out a little bit? I mean, we really do in this country have loads and loads of music festivals all over the place.
Yes, absolutely so. It is extremely necessary. You will, in fact, find, for example, that oftentimes, I'm not saying every time, but oftentimes, out of very poor situations will come the greatest wisdom, the greatest angel, the voice. And that is usually because these are situations acquired through desperation. Gifts of spirit, yes, I agree, to a certain extent. But also environment plays such a very important part to the pathway of learning and of attainment. And that attenuation which is created within the journey is something of great beauty and great vibration which it sets off. Purely and simply, we are reminded, in fact, of so many different individuals who come and feel that they are worthless because they perhaps have a poor attenuation of their physical life journey. Maybe they have always felt as though they are not going to ascend or accede to something that they dream of, and therefore thinking that their dream is still but a dream and not a fulfillment, not possible even. It only takes one illumination of that being. Just one.
And going back to the music festivals, the thing is, it's not only the music, it's being in that vibration where everybody's their vibration is lifted at these events that makes it so, so really, gosh, what can I say, good for the soul.
Yes,
be there.
Absolutely so.
Yeah.
Yes, and the point is that all of that kind of situation continues in the spirit world.
Mm.
It's not forgotten. It's not that you're never going to hear music again or various people perform.
Oh, well, tell us a little more about that, would you?
Yes, well, it's the same with any person's life, any being's life from physical state. They can continue, if they wish, to manifest those spirit abilities, those beautiful abilities that they had created in the physical life. It's not all drawn and forgotten.
So what's the sort of thing that you can go to in the spirit world, musically? And who, for instance, would be, like, putting on a concert or whatever?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, all of that kind of situation is created through the manifestation of consciousness.
Mm.
And so it remains that when you as a physical being pass to our side of life, your consciousness, of course, remains with your spirit. And therefore, all of those aptitudes that you had, yes, I know you have no longer a physical body as such, but you have the consciousness memory, your cell memory of your physical body. That means that your consciousness is able to replicate it in the spirit world if you so wish. And all of those abilities that go with it.
So you get an orchestra, a choir, you get
yes.
individual people doing things, singing or playing or whatever.
Yes.
For the same reason that we do it here?
Out of love.
For the feel-good factor, for the pure enjoyment, how it makes you feel.
Yes, and inspiration.
Mm.
And all of that, yes. Absolutely so. So all of those crescents of life who still continue to live and thrive in the spirit world, as we all do, it's simply that those manifestations continue to be driven. So there will be times when you wish to, perhaps, shall we say that you want to listen to Mr. Presley or someone else, you may go and do that.
He still sings?
Yes.
Does he?
Absolutely.
Mm.
With many others.
Mm-hmm.
Many, many others.
And obviously not necessarily people that he knew here.
No, quite
but
so.
But people that he's met there.
Yes, quite so. Absolutely. All of these new energies and new ways as well to ascribe a musical intonation, a whole situation which actually arises that's very well taken care of in the physical life, but how would you manifest a musical instrument like a violin, for example? How is it possible when wood doesn't exist in the spirit world? Because it's the world of non-physical matter. It's simply because of consciousness memory and the fact that there are still beings in the spirit world who used to make violins in their physical life journey, and they're still doing it.
Well, that's fascinating. Okay, well, that's... okay, to carry on with his question about karma, that's good. Okay, the other thing is, explaining your opinion on karma, she was saying that she sometimes gets the feeling of, whatever have I done to this person for them to treat me like they do? You know, have I done the same thing to them before, sort of thing? Is it payback for her wrongdoing?
Yes. So the answer to that very question is emphatically no. If you know yourself that you have not done something in order to inflict or create that self-infliction from that other person's attitude toward you, then it's not something that you dealt with in a previous life, and certainly isn't anything to do with the restorative energy in the spirit world. So it's not something that you have to deal with because it was a situation that happened between you before you both had a physical life, or anything like that, because those kinds of energies are not passed over, are not continued on in the physical world. What you have to understand is the level of contact, and what it is that oftentimes happens is that other situations or other synopses, shall we say, apparents of life, continue to grow. And therefore, the other person's environment and their day may well have been upset by completely different situations that actually have no link to you whatsoever. And you just happen to be at the butt end of it.
We just read far too much into things, don't we?
Yes, absolutely.
Sometimes
far too much.
Yes, makes it so complicated. Well, yeah.
Well, and it's in a sense in desperation to make it fit.
Yes.
But it actually doesn't.
Hello, caller. Who's speaking?
Hello.
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 Hello. Who's this?
Hi, it's Milena from Canada calling.
Sorry, what was that, Tina?
Hello?
Hello, sorry, I didn't get your name.
Oh, it's Milena, Milena.
Milena.
Oh, Milena. Hello, Milena.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. And you?
Good, thank you.
Okay.
I've been listening to your show, and I have a question. If you can tell me if I'm on the right path.
If you're on the right path, friend.
Well, that's the sort of thing, really, that Gregory would have to talk to you about in your in a reading, a personal reading, really. But I don't know what you want to say to her, sort of, in a general way,
it's
Gregory.
It's extremely difficult,
yes.
My dear friend, to generalize in such a way. I understand from your consciousness that you have very deep queries about certain aspects of your life journey. And it would be wrong for me to point you in one particular direction or another without actually having the logical base from which to work from, which is to do with your core vibration and energy, which is only manifesting just a very small part of it in your physical life at this time. So therefore, my dear friend, it would be much more pertinent for me to be able to answer you if I absolutely knew for certain where your spirit came from.
Yeah, it's the sort of, on the program, it's more of general questions, Milena. You might have missed the beginning when I explained that, but you can ask Gregory general questions, or like I say, you know, that is, he does your life path reading privately.
Okay, yeah. Then can I ask a personal, general question?
Yeah.
Is there a chance for me to move? Like, I live in Canada right now, but in a town that I'm not really, like, nothing is really going on over here in the town that I live in. I would just like probably to move to the neighbor town of the town that I live in right now. So I was just wondering if that's going to happen for me.
Yes. The problem is, my dear friend, is that the person that's stopping you is you.
Uh-huh.
And the reason why I say that, my dear friend, is because what you need to understand is that the person who is in control of your life or who has to take control of your life is you. If you leave it to some other situation or a mixture of events or scenarios to come together to then reveal to you, oh yes, now is my time to move, it won't happen because you could be waiting until you pass. So, my dear friend, I suggest to you that you actually understand this simple premise. You have this physical life. If you are unhappy in your present location, then what you need to do is not to sit around and wait and mourn and then project negative energy around you because you are unhappy in your present place. What you need to do is to take command of your life. Take it back from those you have given your life to.
Her energy, her power to, you mean?
Yes.
Right.
Okay. Even though that it's very stressful in financial situation right now, how do you, I know that you said that the only thing that's stopping me is me, I'm the one, but it's much more expensive to move in that town, particularly in that town.
Exactly. Yes, I understand your dilemma, my dear friend, but what I'm saying, though, however, is it depends upon your insight as to what it is you wish to move to. How are you going to perfect your life if you continue in the aspect of life that you are at present? You have to ask yourself, do I want to move for what reason? I would suggest, friend, that you begin this whole process by making lists. Lists of the positives of why you are there in the first place and what you continue to perceive of your life. Don't think about this whole situation of moving that you've got to do it tomorrow. But first of all, you have to align yourself with how am I thinking about myself? What reasons do I have that make me decide I do not want to be in this place, but I want to be over there? Perhaps, my dear friend, I would suggest to you that by making this as a resource for your consciousness, this will enable you to acquire greater understanding about what is actually possible rather than understanding that perhaps you are putting up blocks about how you can proceed. So, for example, friend, if you at this present time perceive that financially it's not viable for you to move, then in other words, what you really need to do is to make a better understanding of what you're doing now at this present time to change your life so that it reflects a different you. And therefore, the outcome for your journey will be completely different. Tomorrow, you may not think that you have to move out of pure desperation, but in actual fact, you're seeing a different aspect to your life.
That's all about positive, being positive and drawing the positivity to you and the outcome that you want, really.
Yes.
The law of attraction.
Yes, I understand all that, but it's how do you do that when it's so difficult and when right now I was I had a car accident about 2 years ago and my disability of my back and my neck and my shoulder doesn't allow me to go back to my job. So I lost my job because of that and I'm in dispute with the insurance.
Yes,
I feel I don't really have a control. It's basically I feel the insurance has a control over my life. If they're going to support me and if they're going to, financially support me and pay me my disability, then I'm going to be okay financially.
Yes, quite so. And then from that point, my dear friend, what you then have to do, in actual fact, friend, what you have to do at the beginning of this is, as I say, you have to decide what is it that I want to create with my life.
You have to recreate.
You have to recreate
rather than holding on.
The position. Do not think of in terms of retrospective thinking, which is what I did yesterday, 2 years ago.
What I used to do before.
What I used to do before. And then more that creates great negative energy and karmically really doesn't do you very much good. And incidentally, it's not something that was set up in order for you to fall or fail. It's not a life lesson, friend. It's simply that other people do things in physical life, and you, unfortunately, were in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Okay.
Look at yourself in a different light, Melina. Look at the other qualities that you have, and adjust that life to the situation, your physical situation, and everything about how you are now,
yes,
but in a positive light.
And if you feel, my dear friend Melina, that you do not have beautiful spirit gifts, or if you feel that there are certain aspects to your life which are perhaps dull, then you need to investigate yourself more thoroughly and really find the beauty that still does exist within you. I'm not saying that you are not. I'm saying, however, there are many aspects to your life, my dear friend, which you will uncover.
How did you do that?
And you will uncover it by creating, first of all, a pathway to change to enable you and your physiological self to become healed by the impact of what happened to you in the past. So you have to learn to retrain and recreate your mind, because at this moment in time, friend, it is being recalled and redrained every single day by the tasks and the upheaval that you have to face, the battle that you face in your physical life.
Like going on a roundabout, really.
Yes, quite
so. She needs to slow down, slow her mind down.
Yes, so that you actually are enabled to be able to be in better control of your life experience.
To be receptive to new thoughts and new ideas.
Yes,
So declutter your mind. It's very, very difficult. We're not saying it's not. But it does come from within, okay? Recreate yourself. You go on the internet and find some really good positive affirmations to say, and try and eliminate the negative situations in your life that you can be in control of.
And then you will feel much better about yourself, about what you really can do. Yes?
Okay.
The bottom line is just be positive and go forward. Don't look back, right?
Yes, because you have so many traits, my dear friend, you have yet to uncover.
Mm. And you're going back and thinking about all of the things you can't do every day is draining you of your energy, and you know, it's just, you're in the same place every night when you go to bed. You have to recreate your pattern of thought.
Okay.
Positivity attracts positivity. Thanks ever so much, Melina. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you, honey. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. God bless, friend. Yes.
Okay, yes. It's very difficult, but at the end of the day, this is the problem, isn't it? We can only really work on ourselves and help ourselves, but it's actually
understanding the keys to how to do that.
Yes, and realizing what it is that we do every day that actually is very damaging to ourselves.
Yes, quite so.
It's easy to look at somebody else and you know, notice things that we think that they do, that they, you know, if they didn't do that, their life would be a lot better.
Yes, but it's actually very difficult for one person to recognize the individual's own, your own situation.
Absolutely.
Extremely difficult.
Yeah.
But is possible.
Yes.
We would like to talk about all of these things.
Yes, we will.
Further.
Yes, we will.
We'll talk about that.
I will make a note of this.
Yes.
God bless you very much.
Journeys, my dear friends. God bless. Be safe.
Thank you, Gregory. Well, we hope you've enjoyed the show, and thank you for your call. I'd like to mention our website again. That's www.spirit-teaching.com, where you can find out more information about us. And my name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been Spirit's Work. So until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Bye.